The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Church family, these things that we prayed for today, I want you to know, and even as the truths that we will look into today from John chapter 10, these truths, how fitting they are today in the timing of all that's going on, to remind us that these truths that we're going to study are true for them and are true for us. If we were in that very same situation, I would want you to know that these truths that we're going to see in God's Word could hold us fast just like they can hold them fast as well. So take your Bibles, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 28. Today, as Andrew mentioned to you earlier, we're going to be looking at the promises that Jesus gives to those who are His sheep, those who belong to Him, those who have placed faith in Him. That is the promises that Jesus gives. Now, let me remind you that these promises that Jesus is giving to His sheep, although they're amazing, three promises He gives in John 10:28, that if we are His sheep, He gives us eternal life. If we are His sheep, He promises that we'll never perish. If we are His sheep, He promises that no one can snatch us from His hand. Now, those promises, you may listen to those and say, man, that's great truths. Thank the Lord for those truths. But let me just remind you that these promises are contingent upon verse 27. And in verse 27, Jesus describes those who really are His sheep. Jesus said, those who are His sheep are those who hear His voice and keep on hearing. They are known by Him. Not that we just say we know Him, but the question is, does He know us? And then thirdly, we follow and we keep on following. So that's the contingency to these promises. You can love these promises all you want. I love the fact, you may say, that we can have eternal life. I love the fact that I'm never going to perish. I love the fact that He's never going to take me out of His hand. But the question that you need to ask yourself is, are you described in verse 27? Do these descriptions actually describe you? Have you had a time where you've heard His voice for salvation and you're continuing to hear Him? Can you say for sure that He knows you? Can you say that you're following Him? And if you do, and if you have that assurance, then today, be encouraged, believer. Be encouraged this morning that no matter what happens, if this same situation that was to happen in Ukraine was to happen to us, you should have reason to have hope. You should have reason to be secured in Jesus Christ. If all the world falls apart, you realize what we have in America is an anomaly to many people. I mean, what we have is a blessing in the aspect that you wake up, you go to work, you come home and not have the threat or the worry. We have, and many other countries have it as well, but I want you to understand, if it falls apart tomorrow, you and I should not fret and worry and be filled with fear because of what Jesus says to us right here in John 10:28. Now, even outside of what we're seeing in Ukraine, even if your world in your immediate family falls apart, if you are a believer in Christ, and let's say that your parenting, the things that you poured into your children, that you love your children, and they get grown, and it seems that they wander from those things, as a believer, you can still rest in the promises of God. You go to the doctor and you get a diagnosis that you weren't even expecting. You think like, man, I thought I was going to get to do all these things, but yet then it seems that your world has gotten shortened. You still can rest in these promises. You walk into your workplace and the boss says, come in and see you. And you're thinking you're going to be there for your life. And the boss says, hey, we got to let you go due to financial shortcuts. And maybe you're now wrecked and now you're thinking, how am I going to pay for all those things? If you're a believer, these truths right here should hold you in these moments. Jesus promises eternal life, to never perish, and to hold us in His hands. Now, these verses that we're looking at this morning, we're going to look at a couple other verses to supplement this truth. So I want to give those to you now so you can have them ready, so that when we go there, you're ready to flip there and that you won't get lost in that moment. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And we're also going to be looking at 1 John chapter 5. So two other passages. We will be looking at a few other passages that are close in proximity to the passage that we're studying this morning. You'll be able to flip those. Those are two, though, that are somewhat removed from the passage that we're looking at. So Romans chapter 8 and 1 John chapter 5. We'll be looking at 1 John 5 before we'll be looking at Romans chapter 8. Well, let's look at the text this morning again, and then let's read this. And then let's actually look at all three of these elements that are here. Remember in the context of this verse in Rome, in John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus is speaking to Jewish religious leaders who were holding to a religious tradition that they thought was bringing them life. At the beginning of this paragraph, they actually asked Jesus, can you tell us plainly if you're the Christ? And Jesus told them, it says, look, I've already told you, and all my miracles are showing you who I am. Believe these things. If you don't believe what I'm saying, he says, believe the miracles. And they question him. And then Jesus says, but look, I and the Father are one. They picked up stones. They're ready to kill him. And so Jesus holds out the invitation again. He says, look, believe the works that I have done so that you can have life. And they chose not to believe. But then at the very end of this paragraph, at the end of this chapter, Jesus leaves that group. He goes across the Jordan where John the Baptist had prepared the way and preached before he was executed. And as soon as Jesus gets there, these people say, John didn't do one sign, but everything he told us, we're believing in you. And so what you have here is this comparison or this contrast of a two group of people who had seen and heard and they chose not to believe, and a second group who didn't see a miracle, but they heard it and they believed. I'm here to tell you what Jesus has given us already is enough to believe. You may say, well, I've not seen any miracles. Well, look, did you get up this morning? You saw a miracle. Your heart was beating. Your lungs are working. You're breathing oxygen. God gave you another day. Did you see the sun? See things functioning? Did you wake up this morning and the earth shook on its axis? The answer to that's no. God's holding it in his hand. It's a miracle. The galaxies are in place. It's a miracle. The molecules are held together. That's a miracle. Jesus is the one who has demonstrated to us. And so I'm saying to you that if you have not believed, then these promises that we're talking about this morning, they don't apply to you. But I want you to sit on the outside observing these amazing promises that we're talking about for those who believe. And hear this as a description to say, I don't have that, because I want you to understand from the very beginning, the opposite of these promises are true for you. For those who have not placed faith in Christ and they're not his sheep, then the opposite of what we're going to say is applicable to you. So let's study the text. Let's look at John chapter 10. Let's read verse 27 and verse 28. And then we're going to unpack each one of these promises one by one. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Great promises, amen? I mean, go home, right? No. There's so much goodness in this passage of Scripture that we want to unpack. We want to mine the gems out of this. Jesus promises, number one, to give us eternal life. So the first question I want us to understand and wrestle with is, when does this begin? Most people think of eternal life in the aspect of when you take your last breath here and when you open up in your eyes or your spiritual eyes, and as soon as you end here, then you're in eternal life. That is not what Jesus says. What Jesus is promising is that at the moment of belief, we enter into eternal life with him right then at the moment of belief. Every one of us in this room is going to live for all eternity. You understand that. We're either going to be living under the wrath of God and going to be judged and spend eternity in hell, or we're going to have eternal life. Understand this. Every one of us before belief in Christ is on the track towards death. So if we have this mindset that we're saying, well, I'm not going to get eternal life until I die, then just wait till you believe at the very end. No, because you don't even know when that end's going to be. But if we have this mindset to understand, we're all tracking towards eternal death and separation from God in hell. And so if eternal life only waits till when I die, then what's the moment? What happens? How do you describe that when you believe in Jesus and before you die? What do you call that? If we're already on the track of eternal death, I'm thankful that at the moment of belief, Jesus takes me off that track and he puts me on the track of eternal life. Now, how do we know that? This is not just my philosophical reasoning. This is what Jesus actually says. I want to break it down and show you. How do we know that? Because I want you to see the language that is used here, number one. Look at the text again in verse 28. Let's look at what he doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, after he says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and follow me, he doesn't say, I will give them eternal life. He says, I give them eternal life. So at the moment that we believe, because that's the whole point of what Jesus is saying, is my sheep who've heard me, I give them eternal life, not this futuristic understanding that it's going to happen in the future. Now let me give it to you and break it down to you in the Greek language. This is actually what's called in the Greek present tense, which means that when Jesus gives us something, he gives it to us, and he's going to continue to hold that to us, and he's never going to take that away. He's giving and he's continuing to give it. Meaning, for all of you in this room who have placed faith in Jesus Christ, I want to take you back down historical road to the point where you knew you placed faith in Jesus. Maybe a revival meeting, maybe a church service, maybe a Bible study, maybe driving down the road, maybe sitting in your living room, maybe at a coffee shop when you're having a conversation. I want you to take yourself to that moment. Maybe you can't think of the moment. Place yourself in the time period in which you know you believe. In that moment, I want you to understand that in that moment, your eternal life began. Even though that we're in this flesh and we struggle, because we all know that we struggle, because that's even what Paul says, as the scripture says, our spirit wrestles with our flesh. Amen? Is that wrestling? Oh yeah, wrestling happens. So Paul is saying that when we, even in this flesh that we're wrestling, but there is this eternal reality. It's like, I know that I'm in him because Jesus has given me eternal life. I know that I'm here now. Now, I want you to understand something. We're going to take this kind of a perusal down this text and in the gospel, and I want you to show you that Jesus gives this promise over and over and over again. Remember, that's the whole point of this gospel. In John chapter 20, verse 31, Jesus says, or John the apostle says, I've written these things so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so that you may believe and have life. Now let me show it to you. Let's just kind of take a quick perusal. Go back to John chapter 3 with me. Let me just show you these promises where Jesus gives this truth and this promise of what we believe we're given this life right now, this eternal reality that we have in him. John 3:16, one of the very first ones that many of you probably know and memorize. John 3:16. We're going to go from left to right. We're going to go in chronological order so you can follow along with me. Okay, John 3:16, Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. That we have eternal life. Now, your same chapter, chapter 3, verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has what? Eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Notice the language and notice the tense of verse 36. Whoever has him has, not will, has eternal life. The promise that he's given to you and me. Go to chapter 5, verse 24. We're just going to take a couple of these. If you were to see my Bible when I've studied through this passage of Scripture, when you look at this passage of Scripture and you go through the whole Gospel of John, if you were to read the Gospel of John with this lens to say, I'm going to circle every time I see the word believe and every time I see the word life, it will look like my Bible. It is circled up like crazy because when I was reading through the Gospel of John preparing for this series, I went through it a couple of times and I started circling. I'm like, my gracious, it's everywhere on these pages that if we're believing, he's given us life. All right, John 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life. His promises that Jesus has given. Let's go one more. John chapter 6, verse 35. John 6, 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. What is Jesus? He is the bread of life. Okay? This is who he is. Let's give you one more. John chapter 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Promise, and we'll look at in a few months. John chapter 14, verse 6. Notice this is not necessarily something that he's going to do. It's who he is in his being. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. It's who he is. It's in his essence. Now, this is something that we call, if Jesus is promising to hold us and to give us eternal life. In conversations that I've had with people when I'm witnessing, often I'll ask the question, do you know for today if you die that you have eternal life with Jesus? I'm amazed at the response I get frequently and says, well, I don't know and no one really can know. Listen, maybe that's what your thought pattern is, but I want to tell you, we'll give you a text, we're not going to flip there, but 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John the Apostle says, I've written these things to you, that those who believe in the Son of God may know that they have eternal life. I mean, I don't want to live believing in Jesus, hoping that maybe, I don't know, if I die, I'm not sure if I'm going there. I don't want to live that way. I want to live with a promise and know for certain that when I follow Jesus Christ, I know that I have eternal life not because Byron thinks that, but because the Word says that. That I have eternal life. Now, as some of you have heard it taught, this is what some people call eternal security, that when we place faith in Christ, that you are eternally secure. Do we believe that? Absolutely. But let me tell you the wrong understanding of that. Now, I've heard people that will criticize that doctrine, and it's a fair criticism. They say, well, that means if someone believes in Jesus, they're eternally secure, they can live the way they want to. Wrong. If you believe that eternal security means someone can just pray a prayer and get into heaven, they can make heaven and miss hell, and they're good to live the way they want to, that is not what Jesus said in John 10:27. Because how did he describe a sheep in John 10:27? Those who are my sheep will hear my voice and keep on hearing. Those who hear my voice, they will keep on following as well. You follow and you keep on following. So you can't say, well, I believed in Jesus back when I was 5 and I can live the way I want to. Whenever I die, I'm good. Wrong. You've been deceived. Because if you're truly his and you wander from him, he will discipline you and he will bring you back. Or either he would take you out. So this aspect of eternal security, say, are we eternally secure? Yes. But you say, listen, what drives us to want to obey him in that period of knowing he's giving us eternal life? What drives us the moment that we believe to when he takes us home to be into his presence? What drives us? And it is because of what Jesus says earlier on in this text. He says early on in verses 1 through 5, those who are his sheep, they will follow him because they know his voice. Your drive for obedience is not just simply to perform a task. Your drive for following is that you know you were in the ravines, you were trapped, you were under the wrath of God, and the great shepherd came to rescue you from hell. He rescued you from wrath. And so your motive for following, your motive for staying is because you know you were in a bad spot and the good shepherd sets you free. Amen. So your security doesn't give you permission to do what you want to. Your security gives you the allegiance to say, thank you, I'm following you. So the aspect of saying, I'm eternally secure, I can live what you want to. You say, well, what about that pastor? What about those people who supposedly prayed a prayer and then they're living the way they want to? Remember we talked about this last week. We don't have time to go there, but 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 addresses the issue. There are people who may be among the church or quote unquote be among the sheep and maybe had an emotional experience. Listen, don't equate emotionalism with true conversion. You can get an emotional experience, but that doesn't necessarily mean salvation. Now, some of you have had conversions, and it was an emotional experience. My conversion was an emotional experience. But there are some people who are very intelligent-driven, and they can think through it and process it. I had one particular person I talked to. He just said, prove to me in the Scripture that Jesus is God, and I believe. I showed him. He's like, okay, that's good for me. I'm in. I believe. With no tears, with no sadness, with no squalling or bawling. He just believed. And he was dead. Understand, you can go to a service and it can be an amazing experience and you can walk out and say, man, that's awesome. But unless you repented and believe, you just had an emotional experience. 1 John 2:19 says this, they went out from us to prove they were not among us. What I'm saying to you is this, when Jesus says, I give them eternal life, this is a promise to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I know that I'm at the end of this. I'm with you. So I'm following you all the way. So he gives us this eternal life. Now understand this. This is also what some people call this perseverance of the saints. Meaning this, that if you're truly in Christ, this does not mean perfection. Not one of us in this room or anybody who's watching online that are truly in Jesus is going to be perfect from the moment that you believe. Let's just put this all on the table. How many made a mistake this week? This is the opportunity for all of you to raise your hands. You just made one, so now everybody's got their hand raised. All of us who've placed faith in Jesus have made some kind of mistake. Now, don't sit there and rationalize it. But, Pastor, I didn't do that big of a thing. Oh, my gracious. All sin separates us from God. All sin breaks fellowship. All of it proves that we are weak. But the goodness is this. If we're truly in Christ, and those moments, even though that we're tracking towards following him, in those moments that we may suffer, those moments when we may fail, if you're in Christ, instantly. The Holy Spirit who is in you is going to say something to you. He's going to convict you. He's going to warn you. Or even before it happens, he'll say, don't do that, don't say that, don't go there, don't look there. Right? Why? Because John 16 says that the Holy Spirit's job is to bring Jesus glory. So if he's in you, then those things that we do that don't bring him glory, he's going to convict us because he's in you. And if those things that you're thinking about don't bring him glory, he's going to warn you. So if we are truly in Christ and we're tracking to this promise of eternal life, we know that we're in him and he's going to give us this life right now. Now, how is it possible? What does a life right now look like? Look back to verse 9 of John chapter 10. I want you to understand this agrarian illustration that Jesus is using. Remember, Jesus is using illustration about being a sheep and he's the shepherd. Now, if we are in him and he gives us life, then that means prior to being in Jesus, everything else was simply a facade. Everything else was an appearance of life, but it really wasn't life. Now, can you have fun sinning in the world? Some people are afraid to answer this morning. The Bible says there's joy in sin for a season. So you go out there and you sin and Satan makes it look very tempting and very appealing. That's how he started all the way back in the garden. And so it may seem appealing, it may seem fun, but after a period of time, it's like it leaves you empty, it leaves you bankrupt, and it leaves you farther away than where you wanted to go. It doesn't bring life. It destroys. So what we see here in this passage of Scripture in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus lets us know that when we come into him, remember, he's the gate into the pasture, into the flock to belong to him. And notice what Jesus says. Once we enter him, he says this in verse 9, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find what? Pasture. You say, I'm not eating grass. No, you're not eating grass. But the reality is, if you're walking with Jesus, then you're finding satisfaction, you're finding fulfillment, you're finding meaning in Christ alone. And it's in him, if you're a part of his sheep, that you belong to him and you're following him, then he's going to give you what you need. He's going to meet your needs, and the pasture is found in him alone. The pasture's not found anywhere else. It's only in Christ where fulfillment will take place. So if you're saying, well, Pastor, I've been following the Lord and I'm not really finding fulfillment, my question to you is this. I'm going to take you right back to where we were a week ago. How much time are you spending with the shepherd? Because it's only going to be with him where the satisfaction is going to come. Now, I want to clarify and further expound this meaning that Jesus gives us eternal life right now. And here's this. Jesus doesn't just give us life because it's something later on. It's because Jesus himself is life. And when you place faith in Christ, you get God. I love it to say it this way. The gospel is that we get God. And so that when we place faith in him, we have the Holy Spirit placed in us, and the Holy Spirit is God. So the good news is of eternal life, it's not just something later to achieve. It's the fact that the one who is the author of it and who is it gets placed in us. Now I want to show this to you. I want to show you scripturally and biblically. We've already looked at John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now turn with me to just chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. I want you to deepen your understanding of this greatness in regards to life that we have in Christ. And what I mean by that is you can't find life outside of anyone else other than Christ alone. John 17, verse 1 through 3. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Now, just understand contextually, this is the prayer that Jesus is giving at the night before the night of his betrayal, before he's going to be crucified the following day. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. He's going to give that to him, but notice what Jesus now describes further in verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Listen to what Jesus says. He's going to give eternal life, but eternal life is defined and wrapped up in the element of knowing Christ, who is eternal life. Now let me show it to you again. 1 John chapter 5, the other passage I told you we're going to go to. Go to 1 John chapter 5, and I want you to see where Jesus himself, yes, he gives eternal life, and that the way that he does that is because you're getting him. 1 John chapter 5. Looking for that, that's towards the end of your Bible, right before Revelation. So here's the truth. Jesus doesn't just give us life. He is that life that we are promised through him. 1 John chapter 5, let's read verse 11 through 13, and then we'll skip down to verse 20. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in who? His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Meaning, you don't have the pasture that he promised back in John chapter 10, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. If you do not have that verse underlined, asterisked, circled, penciled, whatever it may be, hold to that. Mark that as a believer. These are those promises so that when the enemy throws his darts to you, after you place faith in Christ, and he's trying to make you doubt and wonder, and you can say, oh man, I know because he promised it to me. My eternity is secure because I'm in him. Yes, I faltered, I fell, but thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are my shepherd and I am your sheep. Thank you that you promised me that I can know for sure. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and what? He is this. Not that he's just giving it. It's a both and reality, church. He will give it because you get him. You can't divorce the two. That's why the Bible doesn't say God is loving. God is love. And I want you to understand this morning. You don't say, I'm just getting eternal life. No, he's given you himself who is this reality. So the only way that you can have the security of eternal life is if you have Jesus. Separate from Jesus, you don't have it. Do you have it? Do you get it? Are you with me? It's good, isn't it? We get him. He gives us eternal life. Now, here's the good news. When we experience this life, everything else previous is not life. And he saves us from things that we don't even realize are lifeless. Turn back to the Gospel of John and go to John chapter 5, verse 24. We read this just a moment ago, but I want you to see it in this context. John 5, 24. What happens is there is a passage from death to life at the moment of belief. John 5, 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from what? Death to life. When do you pass from death to life? Is it just when you die that you miss hell and make heaven? No! You get passed from death to life at the moment of belief. Because we're all on a trajectory of spiritual death. And praise God this morning as a believer. You can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that I am not in the casket any longer. You've been raised to life. And you have life in God. Now Jesus promises us that we can be saved from these past things. You realize that the people to whom Jesus was speaking to, let me just remind you, were religious people. He's talking to the Jews, some of the Pharisees. He's talking about the greatest teachers of the law, but yet they were clueless. They were bound by religious traditionalism. They were bound by their extra man-made laws that they had added to the scriptures. Jesus describes him this way in another spot. He says, you make people twice the son of hell as you are in your teaching. These people, these Jews who were not believing that he was the Christ and the Son of God, they needed to be saved, not from sinful lifestyle living, but they need to be saved from man-made religion and ritualism. Most of us think, oh, pass from death to life because we'll start listening to all these different sins and addictions. But listen to me. You're just as lost if you're caught up in religious tradition. And some of you in this very room, praise be to God, got saved out of some kind of religious ritualism and tradition. And He brought you to truth and life. Listen to me. Ritualism is not going to save you. The only thing that's going to save you is Christ. Now, there are people who are in this room that God, by His grace, has saved you from past lifestyles that was full of filth and wickedness and evil. And you look at this verse and say, thank you, God, because I was experiencing death and You brought me to life. But there are some of you sitting in this room and you think, well, I wasn't in a religious ritualism. I really wasn't that bad. But let me explain to you. When you place faith in Jesus Christ, you got saved just as much as those other two categories I just described. Because we're all on trajectory to hell. You may be taking different paths, but we're all on that trajectory. And when Jesus promises to give us life, I want you to rest in the fact, when you sing that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, whoo, it's grace when you realize we're all were trapped in death. We were all bound for hell. We were all in the wrath of God, but blessed be the name of Jesus that through Jesus Christ, He gave us life because He gave us Himself and we have it secured in Him. He gives us eternal life. Now, listen to me. You say, well, where's the future reality? If Jesus promises to give us, go back to the present tense of the Greek. If Jesus promises to give you eternal life at the moment of belief, and He's going to keep on giving it, if He promises to give it to you and to keep on giving it, then the future reality is for sure secured. Because if He's going to give it and keep on giving it, He's not going to stop giving it to you, which means that when you die, guess what? He's still holding out for you. One person got it. Eternal life. Because if He's going to give it to you, He's going to keep giving it to you, He's going to hold out to you. When you get the end, it's like, well, am I going to make it? No, you know because of in Christ alone that He's given that life to you and it's secured in Him. What a great promise that He's given to us. Amen? Amen. That we know that through Christ, we get to John chapter 10, 28, and He says, this is what I'm giving my sheep. I am giving you eternal life, both now and forever. So for those of you in this room, if you have a fear of death, let me just tell you, if you are in Christ, you have nothing to fear. Yeah, maybe the end of physical illness or sickness sometimes can be difficult and hard, but let me just tell you practically, you have nothing to fear. You can face that end with say, come on, Jesus, take me home. Because you know in Him, you know that when you take your last breath here, it's the first breath in eternity with Him. And you rest in Him. The second promise He gives us is not just eternal life. Look back at John 10, 28. He says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. Never perish. What does that mean? Let's look at the future and then we'll also look at the present so we can understand. Now with eternal life, we looked at the present and we went to the future, but now we're going to work backwards. I want to look at the future and then work our way back to the present. This word never perish, literally in the Greek, means never be destroyed or lost. Now think about this. The future, it means this. If Jesus promises to give us eternal life, that means that we will never perish. It means in the future, if you're with Him, then the promise is I never have to worry that I'm going to end up in hell because He promised to give me life. So therefore, the flip side of that, if I'm with Him in eternal life, He says, then you're never going to perish. This is the same word that's used in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. It's the exact same word that's here. Now, sometimes when you as a parent or a family member say something to someone, you want to make something secured or you want to give them a certainty of what you're saying. What do? With that? We will raise our voice a little bit. You hear what I'm giving you? This is a promise I'm giving you. Sometimes in a contract, we'll say that this contract is secured forever to last for 99.99 years or whatever it is, right? They try to secure these things. Well, how does Jesus firm this up for us? Jesus actually uses something what's called a double negative here. Literally in the Greek, Jesus says this, I give them eternal life and they will never not perish. It's like us saying, if we were to read it here, I give them eternal life and they will never, ever perish. Jesus is putting a double exclamation point, a triple exclamation point to say, well, is my eternity secured? And so he flips it and he says, look, I'm going to give you eternal life. And so therefore the flip side of this is you're never, ever going to perish. You're with him. So as a believer, as a sheep, you don't have to wonder that if you're with him, he said he's never going to perish. We're never going to be lost in hell. At John 6:35 that we just read just a moment ago, those who believe in him, the ones who believe in him, that he's the bread of life, that he's not going to lose us. So flip there with me to John 6:35. I want you to see this, where Jesus makes it very clear that if he promises to take us there, I want you to think of it this way, it's not like Jesus halfway is going to lose us. Now, how many parents, I'm going to ask for an honest card this morning, have lost a child in the store? There's a few of you who's willing to stick your hand up. And you do everything that you can to hold on to them. Yes? And somehow, they disappear. In that moment, your heart sinks. Right? If you haven't had that experience, you know, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you've had that experience, you know instantly whatever you were doing gets dropped and you're now just zoning in and trying to find your child. I never forget one of our children. I forget when it was. We were at Walmart and we were in the produce section. I think children get lost at Walmart a lot, you know. We're in the produce section and one of them were right there. And then I look and I'm like, where did he go? And so I just forget looking. I'm looking around. And I thought for a moment, you know, because then I'm looking around and I'm scanning. Is he with this person? Is he with that person? Is that person? They're walking away. And then the child was so little, it was just on the other side of the produce section. Now, in that moment, I want to spank him and hug him at the same time. Right? Yes. What are you doing over there? Thank you, Lord, for keeping my chin. It's like this mixed emotion. But here's the good news. That's never going to happen when you're with Jesus. There's never a moment that he turns around and he doesn't know where you are. You will never not perish. We are guaranteed, if we're with him, that when we get to the end, that we're going to stay with him. But I want to talk about how people have misconstrued this passage and speak some truth in this. When Jesus says, if we are his sheep, that we will never perish, Jesus in the present, in this moment, does not say that we will never suffer. Listen clearly to me. There is a false teaching that exists out there today that if you are with Christ, there will be no difficulty. That if you're with Christ, there's not going to be suffering. If you're with Christ and you have suffering, then you need to have a little bit more faith. This is not what Jesus teaches. Put it in the context. Jesus is teaching in an agrarian illustration. He's talking about shepherds and sheep. Now, Jesus says that if we're following him, we will know his voice and we'll follow him. But if you play out that illustration, even sheep who are following the shepherd are still prone to suffering in an agrarian illustration. For example, even if you're if the sheep is following close to the shepherd, there still might be a snake bite that might happen. Even if the sheep is following close, it's a possibility that the sheep might get stuck in a ravine or a rock. Even if the sheep is following close, it's possible that the sheep could break its leg in the midst of, in the rock and the unstableness. Even if the sheep is following close, it's possible that as they're going through certain areas in the rough terrain, it maybe even scrape their leg and get bruised up. Now you play that out as a believer. I know many people who have followed the Lord close and have suffered much. Some of you in this very room have gone through a lot. Here's what I want to tell you. This theology that people are holding to, that if we're following Jesus, everything is good, that's not playing out for the Ukrainian believers right now. So whatever doctrine that we hold to has to be the consistency around the world for all peoples and for all time. Understand that. Whatever doctrine you hold to has to be true for all people, all places, all time. Jesus never said, when he says, I'm going to give you eternal life, and I promise that you'll never perish, he never added on, and by the way, you're never going to suffer. Oftentimes, as believers, we may have experienced our own snake bites, our own scrapes, our own bruising, and getting caught in ravines. Sometimes that it thrown your way that's not in your own doing, sometimes it is your own doing. Have any of you ever watched any of those YouTube videos of sheep that get stuck? I would encourage you this afternoon, if you want a good laugh, look up sheep that get stuck, that get rescued. I watched one this morning. And this man rescues a sheep out of a ravine. He works hard, has to take down a fence. He gets the sheep out of the ravine. He puts it in the pasture. He puts the fence post back down. And guess where the sheep goes right back to? To the ravine. You know what the farmer did? Most of them go back and he went, psh. And he walked away. But praise the Lord, aren't you thankful that the shepherd doesn't do that to you and me? Because sometimes in our own decisions, we get out of the ravine and we're like, thank you, Lord. I think I'm going to go right back there. Our flesh. But praise God that our shepherd is the one who's faithful to us, not to leave us. He's not going to lose us. Let me help you understand something. James Montgomery Boyce, who was a pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, described it this way. The promise is not that the ship will not go to the bottom, but that the passengers will all reach shore. It is not that the house will not burn down, but that people will escape safely. We are with Christ, and I'm here to tell you that you may suffer. You may struggle, because Jesus says in John 16:33, I have said these things to you, that in me you might have peace, but in this world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So that tribulation you're experiencing with your family, the experience that you're feeling with your child, the tribulation you're feeling at work, the tribulation you're feeling with depression, the tribulation that you're having with your health, all those things, listen to me. You say, well, did God abandon me? No, because he said he's holding you and he's going to carry you to the end. Because he promised to give you life. Listen, eternal life, and the abundant life that he promised in John 10:10 doesn't mean the absence of difficulty. It means that God in his supernatural power give you life in the midst of difficulty. And he promises to give you all that you need. Now, let's see the last one very quickly. Jesus promises to give us eternal life. He promises to give us to never perish. And this last one is that we would never be snatched from his hand. Look at John 10, once again, verse 28. I give them eternal life, they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand. Now, if Jesus has to say that no one could snatch us from his hand, then that implies that there's a very real danger, even if you're following the Lord. Because even in this context, in chapter 10, he talks about a thief and a robber trying to come take the sheep. And then he talks about it in verse 11 and 12 that a wolf might try to come. So let me tell you something very clearly. This is why we desperately need to follow close to the shepherd, because there are wolves that will come. There are people that will come. There are false prophets that will come. There will be ideologies that will come to try to snatch you away. There will be friends who will come and try to snatch you away. And Paul actually says in Acts chapter 10, verse 28, when he left the Ephesus church after his missionary journey, he says, be careful, because there may even be people in your church who will try to come to lead you astray. Listen close to me, church. We need to follow close to the shepherd, because as we get closer to the end of time, Jesus says there will be many who will come proclaiming that they are the Christ. So we need to listen closely to the shepherd's voice. But may I encourage you this. There will be no one, if you were in Christ, even if all those different things come your way, the friends, the ideologies, the antichrist, the false Christ, false prophets, imitating Christ, If you are in Christ, nothing or no one will take you from His hand. Even if we go through the tribulation at the end of the world, you say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. Listen to me. Jesus says right here in John 10:28, no one's going to take you out of His hand. Not one. So listen to me, no demonic force, not Satan himself can take us from His hand. We are secured in Him, now and forevermore. Because if He promises to give us eternal life from the beginning when He gives it to you, and then He takes you all the way through, He's going to hold you. And no one's going to take you from His hand. You know what the Bible says? That nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Would you turn me to Romans chapter 8, the last one I told you to turn to at the very beginning. Romans 8. Paul makes it very clear that if we are in Him, nothing's going to take us away. Romans 8, verse 30. Those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. Those whom He justified, He also glorified. Now let me summarize that very quickly. If Jesus saves you, He's saying, then He's going to glorify you at the end, and He's going to get you to eternal life, perfection with Him. So He's going to carry it out. He's going to complete it. That's why the same thing Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, He who began a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. Now listen to verse 31. Or skip down to verse 35, rather. Who shall separate us? From the love of Christ shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. That doesn't sound like not suffering. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the exact same thing that Jesus is saying in John 10:28. There's no one going to take us out of His hand. So what are you worried about this morning? I don't want to diminish struggle. I don't want to diminish hardship, but I want to be your prophet, preacher to tell you today, hang tight to Christ because He's holding tight to you. You want another verse to give this to Him? We'll give it to you quick. We don't have time to turn there, but Jude. Jude 1, 24, and 21. You say, what chapter? It's because Jude's just one. In verse 1, I'm going to summarize it to you, but go back and look at it. It's a powerful text. In Jude 1 and Jude 24, Jude tells us that those who are in Christ are kept by Jesus Christ. And then in verse 21, he goes back and says, and you build yourself up in your most holy faith and keep yourself in the love of God. What does he mean by that? Who's keeping, us or Him? Yes. He holds us, but I'm holding back too. He's holding my hand. He's given me eternal life, and He's not going to let me perish. And He promises to not take me out of His hand. But let me tell you something. If you're walking hand in hand with Him, it's a much more enjoyable, abundant life in Jesus. But if you're not walking hand in hand, and you're a sheep that likes to stray, and you're a sheep that likes to wander, it's not enjoyable. Because the shepherd's coming after you to be able to discipline you, to make you walk straight. So keep yourself in the love of God, but know that He's keeping you. I want to end this morning with an illustration to tie all these things up. I have a rope on this stage to illustrate our walk with the Lord. In this rope, I want to illustrate this represents the beginning of your life at this point when you place faith in Jesus. If you're not awake, elbow the person next to you. Wake them up. When we place faith in Christ, it's in that moment Jesus says, I give you eternal life. So for me, June 1985, as a 10-year-old boy, my life began in Christ. And I want this rope to illustrate what it's like for us, for me, for those of you who are in Christ, knowing that if I'm in Christ, Jesus, at the end of this is eternal life, then I know that He's going to hold me from all the way back there to the very end of my life, my physical life. Are you with me? So let's imagine that the middle of this rope is where I am right now, on this time continuum. Let's say that I'm halfway through my life. I don't know when my life is going to end. Only the Lord knows that. But let's imagine this is where it is. Jesus promised me at the beginning that he's going to be able to get me from the time I believed all the way to the end. So I can walk in Christ knowing. I'm not getting up every morning saying, oh Lord, am I with you? Are you not with me? I don't really know. No. I know because he promises he's going to give it to me. He promises to give me the eternal life. Now, the scripture also tells us that we're in his hands. And he secures us. That we know that he gives us himself and he holds us together. So I have a carabiner. The way by which that we get secure to the Lord is not just by me holding, because guess what? Some of us may not hold consistently. Can I get an amen in the room? But the good news is that the Holy Spirit is placed in me. In Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says that the moment that you heard the gospel, you believed the gospel, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now we're talking John 10, 28. Now we're talking Romans chapter 8, that once I'm in Christ, I am held to him because the Holy Spirit's holding to me. And so I'm going to hold to him, Jude 1, Jude 24, and Jude 21. He's keeping me, but I'm keeping him too. I'm holding on to him because I know he's rescued me. He rescued me from the wrath. He rescued me from the kingdom of darkness. He placed me into the kingdom of God in whom he loves. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. That I know that neither death nor life or anything else is going to separate me. So wherever I am on this continuum, I know that if it's at 35, if it's at 45, or whether it's way up here to 80, and I'm still preaching here when I'm 99. Y'all going to have to get me off this stage. Amen. So wherever I am on this continuum, I know, praise God, that even in my struggle, even in my weakness, and even when the enemy comes and lies to me, because he will do it, because John 10 and 11, it says a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So even if I'm held secure by the Holy Spirit, he lives in me, and he's sealed me for the promised Holy Spirit, and Jesus promises to give me eternal life, as long as I'm walking with him and I'm holding him, I know that I'm going to experience life. Now listen. If I have a moment where I begin to not walk with the Lord, and I begin to pull away, guess who's going to be pulling on me? The Holy Spirit is going to bring conviction. And I know in those moments, I can say, thank you, God. I was wrong. And he's holding me. So what do you do in that moment? Grab back on. Because a shepherd doesn't let go. I'm asking you this morning, if you yourself know for sure that you have heard his voice, he knows you, and you're following him. If you know that for sure, then the good news is at the moment that you believed, and whenever you take your last breath, you are in his hands. And you're secured. And that doesn't give you permission to live like you want to, because when you understand the depths by which you were saved, oh, you want to follow the shepherd. You want to live for the shepherd. But some of you in this room, maybe in the moment where you know, you say, I did that. I placed faith in Christ. And you're not experiencing life, and you know the Holy Spirit's been pulling on you, then what do you need to do today? Repent and return back to him. But some of you are on the outside of this continuum. You're heading on a different track. You're on the track of eternal death. And I'm here to tell you that Christ wants to give you life. He wants to get you off of that track, and he wants to clip you to eternal life through the Holy Spirit. But it's not happening on your own doing. It didn't happen for the Jews, even though in their religious tradition, they were out of it. But those people in verse 40 through 42, when they says, we believe it was in that moment that they got placed on eternal life. And they were secured in his hands. Some of you who are believers, and you have felt alone, you felt abandoned in your struggle, and maybe in your own ideology, and your thoughts, you think, well, if I thought I was following Christ, this shouldn't happen to me. Place that lie out of your mind and say, even though this is happening, God is with me. And he promised to hold my hand to the end. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Bless your name. For these promises that you give to us in your word. Thank you, Lord, for those of us who are in Christ, who are your sheep. That you've given us life, not just for the future, but even now, in your Son, Jesus. For Jesus both gives it, but he is it. And so, Lord, I pray for those of us who are your sheep. Help us to walk close to you, our shepherd, so that we can experience the abundant life in you that you promise. Thank you, Lord, that you promised us that you would never lose us, that you would never not let us be perished. You would hold us fast. But God, your word has reminded us that even though we're following you, that there still may be struggling, suffering, tribulation. So God, I pray for any in this room and any who are watching today online who may be in the midst of a very difficult struggle and they needed to be just reminded today that that is normative, but they reminded of the promise that you are with them. Thank you, Lord, that as your children, nothing, no one, no spiritual forces, no human force, no ideology can take us from your hand. We're secured in you. But Lord, help us to walk hand in hand with you. Lord, if there are any in this room or any who are watching online who have been walking outside in disobedience, then God, I pray you draw them back to you today. Repentance, brokenness, and then faithfulness. But God, for some in this room, who've heard all these promises, the opposite is true for them. They won't be promised eternal life. They're promised eternal death. They're promised perishing in hell. And they're promised not to be in your hand. They're outside of your hand. So God, I pray, open up their eyes. Give them faith to believe that they may become your sheep. God, we lay these things before you. I pray you'd move. You would work. You would convict. And you would encourage in this moment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we stand and as we respond, our staff will be here to receive you. We're going to sing that same new song that we introduced to you earlier. It goes right with this truth. So sing this truth as your promise of what God has promised to you. We have blessed assurance in Him. You need Christ, come. You need prayer for something else, come. We're here to receive you. You come as God has spoken to your heart today.